Most of us have heard about the benefits of eating fish. It's low in fat, contains compounds that are good for our hearts, and really does keep us smarter. But some new research published in this week's edition of the journal Science suggests that the risks of eating farm salmon could outweigh those benefits. According to the paper, eating salmon that comes from fish farms may actually increase your risk for certain types of cancer. And these days, most of the fresh and frozen salmon we buy does come from fish farms. Dr. David Carpenter is the director of the Institute for Health and the Environment at the University of Albany in New York State. He's one of the authors of the report. Dr. Carpenter, welcome to Quirks.
Thanks very much.
What did you set out to look for in your study?
Well, our study investigated the levels of some 50 contaminants in farmed salmon, in wild salmon from the western part of Canada and Alaska, and we also purchased salmon fillets in supermarkets in 16 major cities in Europe and North America.
Wow.
We report on only 14 of these contaminants, and those are the organochlorine compounds, the persistent pesticides, PCBs, and dioxins, compounds which have not been intentionally manufactured for many years, but last for a long time in the environment.
Well, why did you think there might even be problems with farmed salmon in the first place?
Ours is not the first study on this, but it's by far the largest, most systematic, and most comprehensive. There have been three brief reports that looked at a few salmon, I think about not more than 12 in each of those studies, and reported that they had high levels of PCBs. That triggered us to be concerned about the farmed salmon, so we designed this study to be systematic, to look at farmed salmon from all parts of the world. And because we know these compounds to be very dangerous, we felt that this was an area that needed a systematic study and needed to come to the attention of the public.
So what did you find?
We found in general that farmed salmon have 10 times the level of these 14 different organochlorine contaminants that wild salmon have. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some of these contaminants in the wild salmon as well. But we went on then to do a risk assessment on the basis of published values that EPA has used for a long time, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, that advises about the cancer risk from three of these compounds, PCBs, dieldrin, and toxaphene, the latter two being persistent pesticides. And we applied this EPA cancer risk assessment, and then we applied the fish consumption advisories that EPA has issued. That is to protect one from having a greater than 1 in a 100,000 chance of developing cancer. If we apply that those advisories to how frequently one should eat the farmed salmon, on average, on the basis only of those three compounds and only on cancer risk, the farmed salmon should not be eaten more than once a month.
Okay, now I want to try to get a perspective here, because you're saying that the farmed salmon had 10 times the level of the wild salmon, but what kind of levels are we talking about here in terms of public safety?
Well, if you use the same advice for the wild salmon, for almost all of them, you could eat 8 meals a month without increasing your risk of cancer. In the worst case for the farmed salmon, that being salmon that was purchased from farms in the Faroe Islands and in Scotland, and salmon purchased in supermarkets in Frankfurt, Germany, in that worst case, you should not eat the salmon more than once every 4 months.
Now, what about geographically? You mentioned Germany there, or Europe. Is there a difference between the farmed salmon in Europe and in Canada, the States, and different parts of the world?
Yes, and we were quite surprised how great this difference was. Farmed salmon from Northern Europe was significantly more contaminated than that from the U.S. and Canada, and that from Chile was the least contaminated. Now, if one thinks about this, well, let me say first that when we purchased the food that salmon are fed from these different parts of the world, we found the same pattern in the food. The food in Norway and Scotland was most contaminated, that in the U.S. and Canada of intermediate contamination, and most of that from Chile, the least contaminated.
Well, how's the contamination getting into the food?
Well, this salmon food is made from ground-up trash fish, and then they concentrate the fish oils. What this means is that we have sufficiently contaminated the oceans, with the contamination being greater in Northern Europe than in North America, which is greater than South America, that if you concentrate the fat from the wild fish and then feed it to salmon, you end up with something that's dangerous. We think this geographic distribution of contamination reflects how long there's been industry in the area, how much pollution there has been. Europe has been industrialized longer than the U.S. and Canada, and the industrialization in Chile is the least.
So it seems like we've got a chain here from the ocean to the so-called trash fish and then up into the farm salmon.
That is correct. Now, you could also ask the question, well, the wild salmon are also carnivorous species. Why aren't they so contaminated? Well, it's very telling that the farmed salmon are pink or red only because of an added dye. If they don't add the dye, the color of the fish is a dirty gray.
Oh, no.
Yes. The wild salmon have that color naturally, and it comes from what they eat, which is mainly shrimp and small crustaceans. Now, the farmed salmon are not given that for food. They're given this concentrated fish meal and fish oil. It comes from higher in the food chain, from more contaminated sources than what the wild salmon eat. Therefore, the wild salmon are much less contaminated than the farm salmon.
So could we not just change the fish food then to solve this problem?
That's exactly the point. If the farm salmon industry can stop feeding this contaminated fish food, they could have a product that would be safe to eat.
What would the alternative food be?
Well, this is somewhat of a problem because the obvious source would be soybean protein and fat. I've heard a rumor that the problem is that if you feed salmon soybeans, they have the consistency and taste rather like tofu, which isn't probably what the consumer wants. Now, let me say one thing. We're not telling people not to eat salmon, or certainly not to eat fish. We're not even telling people not to eat farm salmon, but we're saying that if you want to reduce your risk of cancer, you should not eat it so frequently. This is a confusing message. There is no question but what omega-3 fatty acids, the good fat that's in fish, is a healthy source. And these fatty acids protect against heart attacks. However, you don't have to eat a contaminated fish to get omega-3 fatty acids. Wild salmon is very healthy. Many other wild ocean fish do have omega-3 fatty acids, do not have high levels of organochlorines. Now, it's also confusing to consumers because there's been a lot of attention to methylmercury in fish as a danger, and the top predators like shark and swordfish have a lot of methylmercury, but salmon do not have excessive amounts of methylmercury. But the organochlorines present in the farm salmon, in my judgment, are even more dangerous than the methylmercury.
Well, it seems like we've got a two-edged sword here. You got all these benefits that come from eating fish, but then this risk. Now, when you say it's a risk of cancer, what type of cancer are you talking about, and what kind of risk?
Well, these compounds are called cancer promoters, and so they increase the risk of every kind of cancer. But now I should say that we're underestimating the risk in our study because, first of all, we've only dealt with cancer from three of the compounds. In addition to that, we have not dealt with the non-cancer health effects. In my judgment, these are probably of greater societal importance even than cancer. The most serious health effect is that a woman who becomes pregnant and has high levels of these compounds in her body will pass them on to her child, and prenatal exposure to dioxins and PCBs causes a reduction in IQ in the child. It appears to be irreversible, and it isn't that every kid is born totally stupid, but they're less bright by about 5 to 7 IQ points than they would have been had they not been exposed to PCBs and dioxins. An informed consumer should know about all of these issues and have their diet accordingly.
Dr. Carpenter, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
Dr. David Carpenter is the director of the Institute for Health and the Environment at the University at Albany.